Colleagues, today is day 24 since the declaration by the Democratic Republic of Congo of its 10th outbreak of this deadly disease. As of the 23rd of August, our case count has reached more than 100 cases. It stands at 103 confirmed and probable cases with 63 deaths. We have Ebola in northern Kivu and surrounding province of Ituri province in now 6 distinct locations. However, it's very important to note that more than 80% of the cases and indeed the deaths due to Ebola are in and around Mangina in Mabalako Health Zone. So that town that we identified early on as the epicenter remains today the epicenter. And if we look within 20 or 30 kilometer radius of that town, we see the overwhelming majority of cases still occurring. That's very important from a response perspective because we know that 20 to 30 kilometer radius by and large includes an accessible population for WHO, the Ministry of Health of the DRC, and our implementing partners. Two important recent developments though. First of all, in the town of Oicha, which is in North Kivu province, but around 30 kilometers to the east of Beni, we received this week confirmation of a case that had traveled from Oicha to Beni, and further epidemiological work has been done that shows an additional probable case and an additional suspected case in Oicha. The index case may turn out to be, not confirmed yet, may turn out to be a doctor from Oicha who was hospitalized in Oicha and presumably may have infected his wife. While Oicha is not a red zone from a security perspective itself, the road to Oicha is a red zone. So for the first time, really, we have a confirmed case and contacts really in an area of very high insecurity in this response. It really was the problem we were anticipating and the problem at the same time that we were dreading. Our teams have responded this week. They've had to reach Oicha with armed escorts, with MONUSCO escorts. Once they reach Oicha, they're able to move within Oicha town more freely because the town itself is a yellow zone from a security perspective. We've documented 97 contacts. That was done the day after the confirmation of the case, and vaccination was also begun that day and is ongoing. This week as well, on August 22nd, there was a death in the ETU in Mangina, and relatives were counseled as to that death, and coincidentally at the same time, within the home village of that patient that had died, there was a vaccination program going on. And the relatives of the deceased called back to their home village and alerted the village that the relative had died. Unfortunately, that resulted in youth being mobilized and an expression of grief by a very angry group of young people in that village known as Manbango, which is around 10 kilometers from Beni, on the Beni-Mangina Road. That resulted in quite a violent reaction from the young people. No vaccinators were seriously injured. One was slightly injured. But that night, the health center in that village was burnt down by the youth, and the road from Mangina to Beni was closed down. And we've, of course, since then worked with the community and particularly with the youth, as well as their elders, to understand their response, understand their concerns. The road is now reopened, and we now have access again to Manganu village. The other critical part of the response that we've alluded to before in social media and also in my previous briefings and the briefing of the Director General is the issue of how healthcare facilities and healthcare workers seem to be really driving the epidemiology of this response and particularly its amplification. We now have 14 healthcare workers with confirmed or probable infections, one death amongst healthcare workers, part of our work has really been to ensure protection for the healthcare workers, both for their own sakes, but to also help stem the flow of new infections. So we've been vaccinating all of the healthcare workers in the relevant healthcare zones, as well as training, education, infection prevention and control, the provision of personal protective equipment and disinfection of facilities. So in terms of the response now, the pillars are scaling up and all progressing quite well. WHO has around 150 people on the ground, mostly in Beni, but also a significant presence in Mangina, of epidemiologists, clinicians, logisticians, communicators, planners, and the support staff to mount what is a very large and very complex response. Our key partners are MSF and ALIMA, UNICEF, the World Food Programme, and MONUSCO, as well as the ICRC and IFRC, particularly on the issues of burial. In terms of case finding and contact tracing, that work is progressing well. Over the past 2 or 3 weeks since this has really scaled up, we're averaging between 80 and 90% ability to reach contacts on a daily basis, and we're following at present more than 2,200 contacts in those six main locations, including in Oicha. In terms of safe burials, there are six teams up and running with support from the Red Cross and Red Crescent movement. We have 15 teams working on infection prevention and control. In terms of vaccination, now becoming really a stalwart and standard of our Ebola response for the first time now in 2018. We have seven teams. They've already vaccinated more than 2,900 people, including 21 rings around all of the 40 most recent cases. And in fact, colleagues, the point about the rings and the issue of them being around the 40 most recent cases is actually more important in terms of the response than the actual number vaccinated. Because remember, this is ring vaccination, not targeted geographical vaccination. So it's the number of rings, 21, around the 40 most recent cases. That's the most important data in relation to the ring vaccination. That includes more than 500 healthcare workers and more than 600 children. In terms of the therapeutics, and this has really been a major breakthrough on this particular outbreak response, remembering that we geared up to do this last time in Ecuador. We weren't able because the outbreak had been extinguished by the time everything was in place to use these very complicated drugs. We have now used in 13 patients a monoclonal antibody 114 in 12, and remdesivir, the Gilead drug, in one patient, and likely to be several more patients being on these sophisticated treatments in the coming 24 to 48 hours. In terms of the community mobilization, that's going on apace. We are working very closely with religious leaders, working very closely through radio, community radio, and also the MONUSCO radio known as Radio Okapi. We are working with more than 8,000 leaders from the business sector, from community groups, from private sector groups, from all walks of life directly to help mobilize a response and create a permissive environment for our work. In summary, colleagues, we are at quite a pivotal moment in this outbreak in terms of the evolution of the outbreak epidemiologically and in terms of the response. We are truly at the crossroads. On one hand, the response is scaling up very well, and all of the key pillars are in good shape and just need further support to reach optimal outputs. However, due to the trajectory of the initial set of cases and the likely amplification from healthcare facilities, we're very likely to continue to see at least one additional wave of cases moving forward. And we know from that particular incident now in Oicha that we're going to have to operate in some very complex environments due to security and access concerns.